Thank you for listening to this message from Samuel Petty Ministries. May your life be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, 13 through 33, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version just for a little bit of clear understanding. The word says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him. Cleophas said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And they said to him, what things? And they said to Jesus, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Verse 22 says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, and they did not see him. And verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30 says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Verse 32 said, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to read verse 32 one more time. It says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us? Somebody say burn. While he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. I'm going to talk just for a few minutes this morning from the topic, holy heartburn.
All right.
Holy heartburn. Coming from verse 32, holy heartburn. We're going to talk about seeing Jesus in the scripture. Seeing Jesus in the scripture. God gave me the opportunity over the last week, over my spring break, had the opportunity to go down to the church that the Lord has graced me to be able to intern at Atlanta over the summer. So I drove all the way down to Atlanta early Friday morning. I think I left Chatham at 6 o'clock Friday morning. And I said, Lord, I'm going down here. And they wanted me to come and do some things with their youth and wanted me to preach to the youth and then do worship that Sunday morning. And so I had my phone set up, had the GPS on the phone all set up. And, you know, the woman, she talks to you all the way. And so I get down there, and as I'm going into Atlanta, on the outskirts of Atlanta, I get in the middle of the 8 lanes of traffic. Thank you, Jesus. I get in the middle of the 8 lanes of traffic, and the way it goes is you're driving there, and I had the mindset, you know, everyone, when you're on, I think it was I-85, and I'm doing, everybody's doing 105 on I-85. And so I'm in these 8 lanes, and I say, Lord, I'm going down here for you. But these cars are moving fast. I'm moving faster. I said, God, if I die, I'm just going to die. If I get there safe, it's your will for me to get there safe. It was one point I was in the middle of the 8 lanes. I was in the direct middle lane. because I didn't want to drive too far to the left, and that was moving extra fast, and I didn't want to drive too far to the right because that was moving extra slow and they were turning off. I was in the direct middle. All of a sudden, I realized there was a transfer truck in front of me. There was a transfer truck behind me. There was a transfer truck on the right and on the left. I said, God, I think I'm going to die today. I said, cover me under your blood. I'm beginning to pray and listen to our worship music. And so then I said, okay, well, they're moving a little slow, and I want to pass because I like to be able to see what's in front of me because, you know, if you have a transfer truck, you can't really see what's going on.
Right.
So I move over to the left lane, and so everybody's doing about 85 miles an hour. So we're going down the road. And the little woman says to me, she says, your exit is in 2 miles. I said, okay, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was thinking I was on 29 where everybody's doing 55, and 2 miles comes in 2 minutes. Well, when you're doing 75 and 85, 2 miles comes a whole lot quicker than 2 minutes.
Amen.
And so I'm just driving. I'm cruising along in that left lane. I got 7 lanes over here, and I'm going. I mean, I'm going. All of a sudden, she says, your exit is in 1 mile. I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm driving. And so, okay, I got time. Next thing I know, and I'm hearing her all the time. Next thing I know, she says, your exit is in 500 feet. I'm like, well, I know I can't swerve over. So I said, okay, well, I'm just going to make my way over slowly. Long story short, I missed the exit. I was listening to the woman the entire time. I was listening and hearing what she was saying. She talked to me all the way from Chatham to Atlanta. But I did not understand what she was saying. I was so engrossed in what was going on around me, so caught up in the heat of everything going on, I didn't understand what she was saying. I didn't understand her directions. I find that a lot of us in the body of Christ today, we are in that same predicament. We read the word, we hear the word preached. Some of us even partially study the word, but we don't understand what's going on in these scriptures. Oftentimes we have difficulty understanding and getting a grip on the very thing that our faith is placed on. This word of God is the very foundation of our faith and our belief in Jesus. It's a close comparison to the disciples of Christ. They've been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had saw the miracles. They had saw him raise his family member Lazarus from the dead. They had saw the mother as her son was being buried. They're walking through the streets. Jesus goes and he touched the casket and the boy comes back. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him cast out devils. They saw him teach. They saw him do this, that, and the third. They saw him confound the wisdom of the Pharisees. Some of them had even been with him longer. If you study the text, it finds out that some of them were his half-brothers. John were in close relationship. To be quite true, he had been with him even longer than 3.5 years. They saw the signs. They had saw the wonders. They got the parables and the teaching. They even knew the firsthand prophecies. Jesus told him, he says, I'm going to die. This temple will be destroyed. But in 3 days, the temple will be rebuilt. They got all of that. But when it all came down to it, no one believed. When it all came down to the wire, when Jesus had died, everybody fled and they ran. I have a question. Are we, the church today, doing the same thing? We've been with Christ. We know this and we know that. But when it all comes down to it, are we fleeting and running away from this book? Are we truly understanding the word of God, or are we going through the motions? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A quote says this. It says, countless times we substitute the sand of our experience for the rock of the revealed truth of the word of God. Countless times we substitute the sand of what we feel like for the rock that we can stand on, which is the word of God. The disciples did the same thing. Jesus was, he was crucified. They were there. They saw him. He was buried. And what did they do? They went into a room and they hid. Somebody said they hid. He rose from the dead. The women came back and they told them, and they still did not believe. I think it's interesting because, as I said before, Jesus had told them, he says, this temple will be destroyed, and in 3 days it will be rebuilt. They thought it was talking about the Temple of Solomon. the one that they had rebuilt after David had got the material and this and the third. They thought it was that temple. But then he came back and he reminded them that the temple was himself. They saw the prophecies. They heard the prophecies. Even they had read the Old Testament. As a Jew, they were required to know the Old Testament. They were required to know the Torah. David, in his writings, he said, Christ will rise again. Isaiah, in his writings, he said, as sheep goes to the slaughter, he was wounded for our transgression, this, that, and the third. All these were prophecies, so they knew of the prophecies. They knew of the truth, but at the end of the day, they refused to believe it. How many of us today know of the truth of the word, have the ability to understand this Bible, but we don't understand it? We don't have the ability or necessarily want to see Jesus in the scripture. I come to understand that every time we open this Bible, every time we open this book, we are to see Jesus in the word. Whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the New Testament, whether it's the Psalm, whether it's the Proverb, whether it's Ecclesiastes, whether it's Revelation, we are to see Jesus in the scripture. Are we understanding the word, or are we simply going through the motion? In verses 13 through 16, it says that very day they were on the road to Emmaus. So as things go on before, we find in the text Jesus had been crucified. He had been tried. It was in this season that everything had happened. He had been buried 3 days later. So this is on a Sunday morning. The women come back and they say, he's not there. Said, we don't know what happened to his body, but he's not there anymore. And so it says two of his disciples were going to Emmaus outside of Jerusalem. No, this all happened in Jerusalem. So it tells you that not only were they afraid, but they were running outside the city. They were running outside Jerusalem. And what happens is, and they were talking to each other. While they were talking, Jesus himself, verse 15, came and he drew near to them. Verse 16 says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I come to understand that the disciples, they were walking and talking along. Like I said before, we can begin to get so caught up in what's going on around us, we forget that Jesus is right there in front of us. Somebody say glory. Amen. So caught up in our own circumstance, so caught up in our own situation, so caught up in the bad stuff that's happening to us, we forget that Jesus is right there in front of us. I believe it was Paul that said it in Romans. He said, the word of God is near you, even in your mouth. We get so focused on the problem, we forget all about the solution. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God, how are you going to do this? God, how are you going to make a way? God, how are you going to save unsaved family members? God, how are you going to fulfill your promise? We forget all the things that he has already did.
Yes.
All the miracles he's already performed. All the healings he's already wrought.
That's true.
We get so focused on the resource, we forget all about the source.
Yes.
Come to understand that as I was going down the road and I began to look on these same 8 lanes of traffic, if you're driving a car, I don't know if the newer cars have them, but most of the old, my car does, and my mother's car does. But on the right side of the car, on that right rear view mirror or side mirror, it has words. It says, things in mirror, objects are closer than they appear. Sometimes the answer to our problem, hallelujah, is closer than it appears. We can become so caught up in what's going on around us, we forget that Jesus is right there in front of us. We go to the resource thinking that a resource is going to provide, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus, our source, is the one that provides for us. I was thinking about it the other day, and then the Lord began to speak to me on this, a source and a resource. He began to reveal to me, when you go to turn on a light switch, the electricity does not start at the switch. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
For the switch is only the resource of the electricity. It's not the true source.
Amen.
The electricity, nor does it start in the wires in the house. Nor does it start at the power company. The source of the electricity starts with the electric in the sky. But we have resources as God has blessed us with. Sometimes we can become so caught up, like I said, the disciples were so caught up in the death and of Jesus, and they couldn't find his body, and they were so caught up, oh, our Savior's dead. He was supposed to deliver us. He was supposed to be our king. He was supposed to free us from these evil people who are ruling us. They didn't realize that Jesus was right there in front of them. Somebody say, holy heartburn.
Holy heartburn.
We go on in verse 19. I'm just going to explain this. Verse 19 goes on and it says, and he said to them, what things? They said, Jesus said, what's going on? They said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who has not heard of all the things that has happened to Jesus? Jesus said, what things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, it's all in the word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I think it's interesting that in verse 19, they describe the very man they abandoned. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus, a man mighty in deed, a prophet. Now, they esteem him so high. The question I have is, why did they leave him? They esteemed him so high. Goes on, verse 20 and 24 says this. He says, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, besides all of this, the one that would save us. So they go on. They get so caught up in the temporary things that are going on, in the temporary elements of the world, they forget all about the eternal elements of eternity. A lot of times we get so caught up in the temporary, we forget all about the things that are eternal. We begin to see problems in everywhere, problems in every situation, until we refuse to see Jesus in the scripture. If I had anything, I usually preach a three-point sermon, but I only have a one-point sermon today, and that's to see Jesus in the scripture. See Jesus in the text. He goes on in verse 25. They tell him everything that's going on. They say Jesus is just a mess. Well, they didn't know it was Jesus. They say just a mess. The world is turned upside down. We thought Jesus was supposed to fix it for us, and he didn't fix it. What are we supposed to do now? They're running, hiding, cowering, and fearful. Jesus replied, he says, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, it was necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. I come to tell you today, it is necessary, and it was necessary for Christ to die for us. Somebody say glory. It was necessary for him to shed his blood for us. 27 says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he says, this is me in the scripture. Beginning with Moses. Begin to study the word. And if you begin to study, I wish I could teach it like I desire. But if you study in the Old Testament, Jesus is all in the Old Testament. Jesus is all in the tabernacle. Yeah. He's all in the Psalms. Right. When you read Psalm 23, he says, what the Lord is my shepherd. It was not necessarily David talking. David was talking in the place of Jesus. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He takes me to the valley of the shadow of death. That was Jesus talking. However, somebody said, well, if it's Jesus talking, then what are we supposed to do with Psalm 23? Well, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, and the promises of God are yes and amen, and they are in Christ. So therefore, because they are in Christ and we are in Christ, we're able to claim those same promises. Somebody give God praise for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Viewing Jesus in the scriptures. In school, they call it a big word, but it's just a simple word. It's viewing the scriptures Christologically. Seeing Christ in you. Every time we read a text, whether it's Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye serve the Lord with gladness. Viewing Jesus in that. Enter into his gates. Enter into his, whose presence? Whose gates? Jesus in the scripture. I found this and I'm going to read all 66 of them. We find all through the scripture, like I said, Jesus is there. Genesis, Jesus is the breath of life. Somebody say amen. Exodus, we find he's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's fire by night. Can I keep reading? In Deuteronomy, he's Moses' voice. In Joshua, he's salvation's choice. In Judges, he's the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. First and second Samuel, Jesus is the trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's sovereign. In Ezra, he's true and faithful. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and lies. In Esther, he's Mordecai's courage. In Job, he's a timeless redeemer. In Psalm, he's our morning song. In Proverbs, he's wisdom's cry. In Ecclesiastes, he's time and season. In Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. Somebody say amen. Amen. Lamentation, he's a cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he's a call from sin. This is getting good. In Daniel, he's the stranger in the fire. Hosea, he's forever faithful. Joel, he's the Spirit's power. In Amos, he's arms that carry us. In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior. Jonah, he's God's missionary. Micah, he's the promise of peace. Nahum, he's the strength and shield. Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's pleading for revival. Haggai, he restores a lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. In Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Can I do the New Testament?
Yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's God, he's man, he's Messiah. In Acts, he's fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. First and second Corinthians, he's the power of love. In Galatians, he's freedom from the law. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's a servant's heart. In Colossians, he's the Godhead and the Trinity. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's our coming king. In Titus, Timothy, and Philemon, he's a mediator and a faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the one who heals the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, he's the groom coming for his bride. And in Revelation, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Son of Man, the Great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, our God and our Savior. And when time is no more, he is. We have to begin to see Jesus in the scripture. He is. Verse 31 and 32, where our topic comes from. And their eyes were open when he began to reveal himself in the text. When we begin to see Jesus in the scripture, our eyes will become even more open. We will grow in God. We will have blessed fellowship with the Spirit of God. God the Father will begin to just download his precious inheritance into us. It says 32, and they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us? While he talked to us on the road and he revealed and opened up the scriptures to us.
Yeah.
When they saw Jesus, when we see, when I open up my Bible every time, whether it's a study for a class, whether it's my morning devotions, I say, Lord, help me to see you in the scripture. Because if I see Jesus in the scripture, not only will Jesus make the Father alive, but he'll bring the Spirit's power. All through this, he became more real to them. Long story short, at the beginning, you remember me talking about the GPS? Yes, I mixed my exit. But I love it that the GPS rerouted.
Yes.
It rerouted.
Hallelujah.
We may not always understand the scripture. We may not always know the way. But I love it that God does not leave us hanging.
That's right.
He does not leave us hanging. In the garden, they missed the exit. They sinned. They disobeyed God. They missed the exit. Sin, they were separated from God, but God said, I'm going to reroute that thing.
Right.
Romans 5 and 8 says, God so loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation of our sin, to be the sacrifice, to restore us and to reroute us into right standing with God. I'm so grateful that when we begin to see Jesus in the scripture, when we begin to see him as we read, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament, the scripture will begin to come alive to us. It will begin to receive fresh oil, fresh water from the word. And so God, today as we pray, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for speaking to us even in this moment. And Lord, we ask that we would begin to see you even in this word. We ask that God, the Father, as we see Jesus, that God the Father's inheritance would even become ours. And that the Spirit's power would even become ours. That we would just not hear the word, just not partially study the word, just not read it for face value. But that we would see Jesus in the scripture. And that we too would, as the disciples did, have a holy heartburn for you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been another message from Samuel Petty Ministries. Thank you again for listening.